Welcome, listeners, back to the Poolside Pass Parent Podcast, and this is the 8th episode. I hope everybody is keeping well and safe. And we welcome our guest this week, Gordon McClelland, who's the CEO of Working With Parents in Sport. And hi, Gordon.
Hi.
Before we begin our topic, just a quick word from our supporters, Streamlined. Become a qualified swimming teacher with Streamlined in as little as 6 days. Learn at your own pace and be guided by our expert tutors. You can do your training face-to-face, online in real time, or a combination. Assessment can be in your club, using videos, or attending one of our assessment venues. We offer tailored, high-quality support. Quote the Poolside Pass for an extra 10% discount.
And just perhaps just to kick off and give listeners some perhaps some background and insights into working with parents in sport, please.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Jonathan. Yeah, so as an organisation, we provide sort of workshops, webinars, resources for organisations, coaches and parents. We work with 10 national governing bodies all around the world, covering a myriad of sports. You know, we work with swimming, rugby, hockey, basketball, triathlon, athletics, badminton, football. And we work with clubs, schools and state organisations of different sizes, as well as our coach education piece being supported by UK Coaching. And what we're focusing on is providing high quality support to parents who have children involved in the sporting journey, and to provide resources for clubs on how they can effectively engage what is actually their customer, the parents. And also for coaches, there is no piece in any coaching qualifications on having the skills to effectively communicate and engage with parents to make that sort of ultimate team of everybody working together. So we do some work in the coach education space as well.
Fabulous. That was very concise and detailed. Thank you, Gordon. I mean, our main topic today really is going to be working together to provide children with that best possible sporting experience. And no better person to place to actually advise on this. And perhaps the first sort of question I'd like to ask is do we know why our children participate in sport?
I think we know why our children participate, and I certainly get caught when I ask mine, and I do check in actually with them. I certainly get caught out, and I'm never surprised now by some of the responses. But I encourage every parent that we talk to in workshops that it's one of the key questions for me. And you should ask your child, you know, why do they play? Yeah. And it's important for a number of reasons, because if we know why our children are participating, it allows us to support and encourage. It allows us to understand what their motivations are. And we also know from asking lots of people this question that the children's answers are probably very different to what maybe adults think the answers are going to be. I mean, I checked in recently with mine and asked, you know, what they enjoyed. And I got the reply of friends having fun and being outside. And I got friends and I enjoy the challenge from my other child. Mm. You know, Amanda Visek, who I'm sure many of your listeners may have seen some of her work. You know, children will often cite the reason they play sport is for fun. The trouble is that she came up with 82 different definitions of fun, which makes it very complicated for us as parents. You know, and that ranged from, you know, getting kicked to maybe eating hot dogs, or some did say winning, or some said playing in tournaments, but lots of it was based around being with the friends and feeling good about themselves and feeling valued, you know, by the coaches. And actually some of the things that we maybe see as important as adults, you know, such as the winning or being in tournaments, was so far down that ranking list of 82 definitions. Wow. It's quite staggering, really. I think they came in at something like 48th and 60th at the 82. I always joke with parents, it's probably a top three answer for us as parents, because we obviously want what's best for our children. So look, everybody's different and everybody has got their own context. So, you know, check in with your child and see what they reply to you. And then it's up to you to react from their responses.
Yes, 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 absolutely. And I think at the end of the day, you know, we know, don't we, that really participating in sport, you know, creates a very good foundation for activity throughout life, really.
Yeah, I've taken the view, because I've thought long and hard about this, and I mentioned, you know, my son, I said to you before, you know, my son's in a Category 1 football academy, and as I sit there late at night with the glass of red, you know, the mind does wander towards Hollywood and the sort of shining lights, which is absolutely so unrealistic. It's untrue. And going through that, but you know, parents will often say to, you know, ask me, they'll say, well, how do we know that the whole sporting journey's been worth it or invest in it? And I've actually decided that the best way to look at it is what is the way you've just put it, that if we use sport as the vehicle to equip our children with life skills that will allow them to thrive in whatever field they choose to end up, then it will have been the most wonderful and worthwhile experience, wherever that journey, you know, may end. And if they're picking up skills such as being good communicators, being self-reliant, being adaptable, creative, being patient, good decision makers, showing commitment, resilience, humility, courage, all of those skills, sport's still a wonderful avenue to get those skills from or learn about those skills as we progress across the sporting journey. And the beauty is, if we could do all those things, we're going to be successful, you know, as I say, in whatever field we end up in.
I couldn't agree more, really. And, you know, I'd throw team player into that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, being a part of a team. Yeah, absolutely.
Getting the most out of the sporting experience for your child, you know, we can talk about, you know, how it's great for parents to, you know, and privileged, to be honest, to actually observe your child playing or being involved in sport, or even being involved in sport yourself as a parent gives so many other rewards. But where do you see sort of getting the most out of that sporting experience for your child, Gordon?
Oh, getting the most out of it. I mean, look, I think that, you know, there's obviously in a world, you know, where with mental health and how thing, I think just the sheer goodness that comes from being involved and getting the exercise and feeling good about ourselves is becoming, you know, more and more prominent. And I'm starting to value that. You know, there's lots of parents who we speak to struggle to get, you know, their children off devices, screens. Society's changed in so much that, you know, the children can't maybe go out and play as much as we were able to when we were younger. And I think just the fact that sport still provides a very safe avenue for some of those things to take place means that we should be really encouraging and pushing and valuing, you know, that part of the experience as parents.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, it leads us nicely into the next question, really, is that understanding of the ups and downs of the sporting journey, really. And I suppose trying to work through those together as parent and child, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think as parents, we've got to understand that it's a long term process. And there's very little value in being the best 8-year-old, best 10-year-old, best 11-year-old. We know through lots of sports that those people who are the top performers at that age are often nowhere to be seen at sort of 18, 19, when we get to that level. And even the transition from, you know, junior athletes who are world champions into being senior athletes is a really difficult transition. So we've got to understand A, that it's a long-term journey, and B, to really focus on the things that we can help control and support from home, because there's lots of things we can't control. And the emphasis for me on the parenting side is that we need to be focusing on those character skills that we talked about, because it's during those negatives and during those dips that actually it's our children's character skills that will allow them to come out of the other side and continue to thrive, you know, on the journey. The difficulty for us as parents is watching them learn new skills and struggle and fail doesn't sit easy with us. It's a really difficult thing when we're stood watching and watching them attempt new things and watching them have those moments of struggle. But we've got to learn to understand that it's okay, and actually it's such a valuable part of the learning process, and we need to be there to encourage and support at that time.
As you say, it's those character skills of kind of, you know, resilience, really, isn't it, that we can control to a certain extent, and allowing you know your child to try and, you know, pick up those sort of skills, really, of resourcefulness and all of those other character skills that you've so eloquently mentioned earlier. And as a swim teacher myself, I've always tried to very much advise parents that this journey is and life in sport is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We want kids to enjoy sport, and children enjoy sport for life, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a super point about that. Actually, the end game should be them participating for forever and enjoying physical activity, you know, whatever level they end up getting to. But I do have lots of sympathy for parents, because it's really tough being a parent as well. And there's a couple of things that we do as parents, because we think that we're doing the right thing as parents in loving and supporting our children. And, you know, a couple of them that I always think, you know, get people to think is one, that we're very good at making excuses for our children. Because I think it makes us feel better as well. I think we think that it's making them feel better. And actually, we'd probably be better saying nothing and allowing that sort of grieving process to take place. I've seen lots of young athletes who, by the time they hit the sort of teenage years, just are full of excuses. And, you know, it doesn't work, you know, and you can see that whenever it's gone wrong, there's always been an excuse made for them. I think that's a really tough one for parents, but I think it's a trap we're guilty of falling in, just as it is making comparisons with other children, you know. Other children at different stages of their development, and there'll be a number of reasons why, whether it's physical or mentally, or they've just had more time in a given sport than your child. You know, making comparisons is really, really dangerous. And I think we need to focus on our own children's journey and not worry too much about what else is going on around us. But it is difficult. I get with parental peer pressure and some of the groups we end up in, I get how difficult that can be.
Yes. The corollary to that, really, as well, is building those positive relationships with your child's coach, isn't it? And trying to build that, I suppose, that transparent, simple and regular communication, really.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it that, you know, we've got a three-legged stool, and the three legs are made up of the child, the parent and the coach. And, you know, you remove any one of those legs and you're in trouble. And I think it's tough for parents, this one. I tend to put a bit more responsibility on coaches, which when I do my coach ed workshops, some of them don't like. But fortunately, I can call on my own coaching background, tell on a few stories. I'm able to sort of win the room round. But I think the coaches have got a big responsibility in helping engage parents, because if coaches aren't open to parents, some parents tend not to get involved because they are worried about it having consequences for their own child, or maybe being labelled as pushy and overbearing. And that's when you get parents who just sort of join up their own dots on the side and then tell somebody else their version of events and can actually cause more stress there than there needed to be. So there's a role for coaches, certainly, in that. And parents, you know, we need to be able to have conversations with our child's coach. And when we do, there's things that I think rub up coaches the wrong way. And I think as parents, we need to be focusing on our own child and asking questions rather than offering opinions. I think it's another good bit of advice. Mm. I think part timing of conversations is really important, and the method of how we communicate, that they all add up to more healthy relationships if handled correctly. But, you know, as I say, coaches have got a role to play in that, you know, as have parents. You know, the late night email after a couple of drinks or bothering coaches on Sunday night when they're watching Wild at Heart or whatever, it's not going to work. But we've all got to sort of work together on what's appropriate and help each other out.
Do you think it's advisable for coaches to try and educate parents and perhaps in an open forum, or try and enhance their knowledge base within the sport?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, it's interesting there. What you'll notice, and this is what we say all around the world, is it's interesting that I think the use of even terminology and saying educate parents, I even think that type of language can cause problems to parents. I think they then think, well, who's this adult trying to tell me how to parent, or you know, who do they think they are trying to educate me about this? And that's why we always use sort of engage parents as opposed to educate. And I think that yes, I do. I think there's a large middle of parents who would like to know more and have a greater understanding of how best to support. I think there's an end where we've got no chance, no matter what we try and do. But I think if we make the middle far bigger and far more receptive and understanding what's going on and helping support each other during it, I think we've got more chance of pulling in some of those people who are difficult to get to.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think, you know, in all walks of life, it's whoever it is, it's, you know, and wherever it is, it's easy to criticize, isn't it? But I think, you know, certainly in my limited coaching career and everything else, I've always tried to and taught by somebody who tried to really sort of allow me to use those positive, constructive type words with parents, and you say that engagement, that constructiveness rather than any criticism really to anybody.
Yeah, it's all encouragement, isn't it? We need bags of encouragement in these environments that, you know, they're stressful enough.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, having great conversations with your children, asking great questions. You know, much of our time is spent in the car on the way to or from a match or a training session. You know, and it's also, you know, they might also be eating on the way there or eating on the way back, or as well as you know, whether it's hot or cold food. You know, that's a great time to engage with your child, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a really valuable time, and I know lots of parents feel that's probably the best quality time they get there with their child in a week, you know, is sat in the car. They can actually pin them down for a little bit and have a discussion. The only problem is, and I'm awful at this. I've got better at this. The car journey home was always difficult for me. I found it really difficult with my children. Didn't handle it particularly well in their early years, and I've really had to learn that's a real danger point, the car journey home. And lots of US college athletes will cite that as their worst memory of the sporting experience growing up. And I think we've got to be aware as parents that you know, emotions are running high, people are tired, and we often use it as an opportunity to have a sort of full-scale debrief about the game and get everything off our chest that we've seen and witnessed. And it doesn't lead to, you know, very healthy outcomes. I think that we've got to think about that journey home. And, you know, if we are going to ask questions, we need to ask questions that allow our children to reflect on their own sporting experience. I think if it's been an absolute disaster, that we understand that silence is okay as well, that we give them a hand on the shoulder and say we're there with them, and we allow them to grieve and go through that, because I think children bounce back a lot quicker than adults and are soon more concerned about what they're getting for the lunch or getting for the tea than how we're maybe feeling. I think sometimes we feel that silence because it makes us feel slightly better. So I think it is a good time, but I think it's got to be a time where discussion sort of led by the child, or we're trying to get the child to reflect and discuss with us, rather than it being a time where we just give every ounce of feedback that we feel like we need to give, and that probably isn't the most productive time.
Yes, a friend of mine once said to me, he heard something, I think, on Radio 4, and he said, instead of saying, you know, after school one day, saying, you know, to your child, have you had a good day? He said, instead of trying to get them to wrap up the whole day, why don't you just say, you know, just pick something and say, you know, which was your favourite subject? Which was your favourite moment today? Yeah. And try and build on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is right. You know, what was the best bit for you? Who was your best teammate? You know, what did you enjoy the most? What might you do differently next time? You know, all those questions that are open-ended, because we certainly know with teenage children, if we ask them anything that involves a yes or no answer, we tend to get a grunt and not a lot of information. So, yeah, try and keep those questions as open as you can.
Yeah. No, very good point. In summary, really, you know, the current climate and no sport, your sort of top tips really for daily activities and how we can best really support our children at home.
Yeah, look, I think everybody should just be having an absolute ball the best they can. I think they should be enjoying themselves. I think you should let them play. I think it should be child directed. I think you should try and get your daily exercise in whatever form. Try and do stuff together. Try and do stuff individually. We've got a number of different things going on, bit of circuit training, bit of couch to 5K, bit of stuff in the garden. This is I end up having to do different bits with different children and take my wife out. So I feel like I think I might come out of this lockdown like Arnold Schwarzenegger at the moment. I certainly have never been that. But I think the key is to encourage each other and realize the value of exercise. And the one thing I would say to parents is your child is not getting left behind, because everybody is in the same boat. And I would just say, just relax, make the most of it, let them do things that when they're heavily involved in sport, they're not maybe able to do. And they'll come back more refreshed. If they want it, they'll come back more hungry and they'll be ready to go again. And don't get too down on it. Don't get too down on yourself, because it's a really tough time, and just give it your best shot.
Yes, no, thank you. That's wrapped up this very insightful podcast of working together and providing your children with that best possible sporting experience. And you know, thank you very much indeed, Gordon, for that. You know, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please go to www.thepoolsidepass.com. And next week we've got Ian Thwaites, the CEO of Level Water, the UK's only swimming charity, who specialise in one-to-one swimming lessons for children with physical and sensory disabilities. But Gordon, this has been fabulous. What you've achieved with working with parents in sports organisation, for me, your website is incredibly knowledgeable, insightful, and full of facts. So I encourage any parent who's got a child playing in sport to visit your website and sign up.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thank you. And thank you for having us on the show. Really enjoyed it.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Gordon.
Thank you.
Cheers.